Thank you, Pete. Thank you for putting that reading in context too. And hopefully it'll become apparent why I've chosen that particular bit of scripture this morning of all days. Well, I wonder how good your memory is. It seems that November is all about remembering, as Brian pointed out, isn't it? And memory can be a very slippery thing, can't it? We can remember things that happened years ago as though they were last week, and yet struggle to recall what we had for breakfast yesterday. We can remember the day that our partner or our children came into our lives as the most momentous day, and then forever after find it difficult to remember what life was like without them. Difficult memories can be hidden and buried, and joyous memories can be embellished and relived a thousand times. We can spend hours trying to remember where our car keys are, only for it to pop into our heads in the middle of the night. We can spend weeks cramming for exams whose content leave us as we walk out of the exam hall, and yet we can also recall a poem learned in primary school, even when dementia has started to take hold of our brains. Memory is one of those things that marks us out as sentient beings. Watching animals remember and grieve for their lost owners or fellow family members really touches us, doesn't it? I remember seeing a film of a lady who'd been doing some really extensive research into orangutans. And she spent years with this group of orangutans in a sanctuary. And then her career moved on and she went off and did other things. And 25 years later, they filmed her going back to this same group of orangutans. And boy, did they remember her. It was a really touching thing to see. And there is something, isn't there, about being sentient. Some animals have it, and we have it in abundance in the way that we remember. Shared memories bind human beings together in a way that even blood relatives can't compete with. The shared memories of those returning from places of conflict are a closed book to even those closest to them. They can't be explained, they can only be experienced. And memory is God's gift to us and creation. The earth itself carries memories of previous ages in layers and buried treasures in the earth. Animal and human tribes share a collective memory of the land and of seasons. Memory is part of what makes us and the world made in God's image. It is something we share with him. Except, of course, that he can choose to forget. And we are bound to our sometimes unwelcome memories until memory itself leaves us. Memories relived can be some of the happiest moments in our lives. Evenings spent reminiscing with old friends, reliving the tears and the laughter of school or university, first jobs, first dates, dreadful haircuts and terrible wardrobe malfunctions all add to the joy of shared life remembered. God has given us memory. And as we read in so much of the Bible, God encourages his people to remember. And in Chronicles, as with so many other places, we see that God has indeed encouraged his people to remember. Abraham is to remember the promise God made to him and Sarah to give them a son and many descendants. Joseph is to remember the dreams that God gave him about his future. Moses teaches people to remember how God rescued them from Egypt and never to forget what it feels like to be a foreigner in a strange land. And so David, leading the people in worship as the Ark of the Covenant is brought to Jerusalem, encourages them in this hymn of remembrance. It is a hymn made up of three psalms written by David, Psalm 96, Psalm 105, and Psalm 106. First of all, he exhorts them to tell each other and the surrounding nations what God has done. And this kind of remembering was always part of the Israelites' war strategy. The news of what God had done for them usually spread much quicker than they could move with their tents, animals, and children. And on more than one occasion, it caused so much fear in the hearts of those who would oppose them that it saved them fighting at all. You remember perhaps the people of Jericho are quaking in their boots at the thought of this nation who are favoured by God coming towards them. Secondly, he encourages the people to remember simply for its own sake. As with their ancestors, they are to retell and enjoy the stories of God's provision in the past, to pass it on to their children, the tales of seas parted, food and water provided in the desert, and that battles won against the odds. Remembering was part of their DNA. It shaped who they were, reminded them who God was, and if only they had learned from their mistakes, it would have protected them from future mistakes. He says, it's always good to remember what God has done in times of fear. And we are, of course, remembering today. On this very day, 100 years ago, the guns were silenced and the slaughter ceased. And since that day, we have chosen to remember. We remember the waste of young life, the immense suffering on all sides, the political mistakes and the acts of vengeance that made the Second World War so inevitable. We choose to remember how cruel and wicked human beings can be to one another in the hope that we can prevent such things happening again. And in a world dominated by the likes of President Trump and Putin, and countless other dangerous individuals, we need to remember how hate starts. But just remembering how things have been doesn't actually help us face the future. Our memories need to hold on to something more concrete, something much more solid. The BBC this week have been doing a lot of remembering as we have led up to this day. And in one of their reports, looking back at the lives and deaths of so many, they reported on the Bibles that were issued as standard kit to troops going to the front in the First World War. As young men died in their droves, the only comfort offered was often the words of a chaplain or an officer read from the Bible. Why is it that in such extreme circumstances, the story of a rescue plan brought to the world through a small nomadic people and ultimately a peace-loving carpenter from Palestine, why would they bring such comfort? Well, maybe verse 30 and 31 of David's song can help us. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. You see, the concept of no man's land is not confined to warfare. This song reminds us that all land is no man's land. Every inch of the globe is the Lord's. And no matter how much we damage and ravage it with war and destruction, it cannot be moved because it is His. And in times of desperate fear and need, in places of suffering and abject terror, the only thing that can comfort us is the knowledge that God is ultimately going to have the last word. And maybe in a war-torn landscape where all the trees are dead and blown to smithereens, verse 33 to 36, help too. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. This timeless prayer of David, sustain the people of Israel and those caught in war and destruction, because it reminded them and it reminds us of an unchangeable truth, that it is only God who can save us. And as we too face unknown futures and a world full of violence, a world that has not learned by remembering, we too need to be reminded that it is only God who can truly save. We need to learn that discipline of remembering God's goodness to us in the past, not so that we can wallow in nostalgia, but so that we can learn to trust. Remembering what God has promised in the past gives us a glimpse of what is to come. And in times of turmoil, that is what we need. What is coming may not be comfortable, but ultimately it is only God who can save us from each other and ourselves. And so remembering gives us faith. Last week, in Dave's sermon, he made a comment that really struck me. He asked, how is God's future shaping our present? And although I am not a scientist or an expert on time, surely there is something about remembering what God has said in the past which shows us what His future for us will be like and which shapes us in our present today. Remembering was such an important part of being God's people in the Old Testament, and it is a vital part of what makes us human, but it is also the way forward. Jesus asks us to keep remembering Him. Every time you take this bread and drink this cup, in other words, every time you eat and drink ordinary things, we are to remember that Jesus has lived and died for us, yes, but also that He is coming again. 100 years is a long time, and yet it is but a blink of an eye to God. We are right to remember the terrible suffering we have and still do inflict on one another. But there is a bigger and older story to remember. It is the story of a God who stopped at nothing to save each one of us from each other and the worst of ourselves. His rescue mission isn't finished, it is still ongoing. He came not just to die for us, but to show us how to live. His plan for our lives is not just a reprieve from what we deserve, but a wonderful invitation into what we could never deserve. And as God's people, we have a mission too. We have a mission to share in His mission, to live lives that show broken humanity around us that there is another way to live, an alternative to hate and violence, shame and disappointment. Our loving God has saved us from the worst that human beings can do to themselves and each other. We should keep remembering that in our prayers, in our worship, and in our life together. And while we still have breath, we should remember and share with others all that he has promised for them too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we stop to remember what you have promised us and what you have done for us, that we can feel confident about the future. Father, we thank you for the way that you promised to look after your people in the Old Testament. And we thank you for the way that those promises are beautifully fulfilled in the life of Jesus, your Son. We thank you that his death meant that we could go free. And we thank you that his life showed us how our lives can be. And we thank you that his rising from the death shows us that death is not the end and that you have conquered even that. And we thank you that your promise to come again gives us hope for this world and the next. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask that you will give us confidence and courage to live in the present, to seek to make peace in the present, to seek to live costly lives because we know what our lives are worth and who has bought them at great price. To live in the present, sharing your good news with those who are broken, with those who are defeated, with those who are at war with others and with themselves. Lord Jesus, give us courage to be your people in this hour. And to do it by remembering what a good and faithful God we serve. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.